It's one thing to hear about, to read about, to watch on TV an event, and I know many of you here today watched that unfold as the terrorist planes ran into the World Trade Center buildings back in September 11th, 2001. What a horrific event, what a tragedy. Over some 4,000 lives lost that day. People that went to work that day and didn't return to their families. People that were flying to get from, one place to another and didn't make it. It's one thing to read about it, to see it, but it's another thing to experience firsthand. Brother Garrett was there. He was with the New York Fire Department Engine 62, called the Gun Hill Gang, which responded to the World Trade Centers that day in that horrific attack. And it changed our lives as Americans, and it changed, I'm sure, as Brother Garrett will share his life, as he witnessed firsthand the terror, the tragedy, the loss. But it also, as we see that, should make us recognize how short our life can be. We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed another day to proclaim Christ. We're not guaranteed another day to receive Christ. So as Garrett comes, we're going to keep the lights down low because his presentation includes a lot of video. And so I'm privileged to introduce Garrett, and I pray that the Lord would be with him and give him strength as he comes and shares his testimony with us today.
Good morning. It's truly an honor to be here. Your granddaughter, if that's the way she can sing when she's sick, she's truly blessed. I'm going to apologize now myself. My buddy Colin, he likes to share things with me, and he had a cold last week, so he shared that with me. So I may struggle from time to time with my voice. Hopefully this water will get me through it. Typically, my buddy Jeff, mayor in the back, the Wizard of Oz, he goes with me out on these things, and he sets everything up electronically. I want to give him thanks. We normally call this a tribute to 9/11, a memorial to 9/11. And for whatever reason, God put it on my heart today to change the name of this speech to The Coat and the Cross. Two symbols. The coat represents the fallen, Marines, all our armed services, police officers, EMTs, and of course, firefighters. The cross, this cross, cut from the steel beams of destroyed towers by a young iron worker who was told that if he continued to cut crosses for firemen, he would be relieved of his duties. He insisted on cutting crosses for us, and the next day after he gave us ours, he was no longer working. I pay tribute to him and his unfailing courage, losing his job because he believed that cutting crosses for us was more important than a paycheck. We have some young guys here. One of them I've had the honor and privilege of watching him grow up from a very small, tumbly boy. It's a young man that he is today. Noah is in the back. I don't know Noah as well, except that I watch Colin, who swims for Tyrone High School, and Noah also swam, so I know Noah from watching him swim through the last season. I'm going to ask now that these two young men and their families stand with them for a moment. Please stand. And thank your parents and God for creating the young man that you are. At times I can become very cynical from the things that I've experienced in my life. I no longer have TV. We haven't had a television in my house for 2 years since my wife passed away. I think I just got tired of listening to all the tragedies and seeing the things that are going on in our culture and our society. That, compiled with everything else that I've experienced, started to take away some of my hope. So the TV no longer exists in our house. I don't want to be a cynical man. And then I look at Noah, and I look at Paulino and their families. And it's amazing to see that still there are some people who can produce fine young men that are willing to sacrifice themselves for people they don't even know, for something that they believe in. Just as our King, Jesus Christ, who made the greatest example in all of history, these young men follow his path, just as the 343, and now, since the death of 200 plus from diseases related to 9/11, three of them just this summer, my comrades that I worked with, my companies, and three others who I did not have the privilege of working with, six of them this summer lost their lives to the diseases that they have contacted, three operations of 9/11. I want to honor them. Firstly, I want to honor Christ because he set the example that these young men will follow. I want to honor their families. I pray that all of you, through their careers, will not suffer anything tragic. They will have honorable, noble careers. I'd like you all to put your hands together for these two families. Please sit. You know, often we hear about all the bad things that happen where we live. Tyrone, Bellwood, I think Noah's from Tyrone, Paulina's from Bellwood. We hear all the tragedies and all the bad news, but we don't often hear the good things, like these two young men. Later on in this presentation, I'm going to read a speech to all of you that I gave to one of our hockey teams the night before we opened up the national championships. This region has produced the most dominant AA hockey team, youth program in the country. Most people don't even know it, but this little region here for 10 straight years sent a hockey team state championships and national championships, where they won national championships three times out of their visits, five times to nationals. This small community produced those kind of young men. But what was bigger than what they did as hockey players and what we tried to do on the ice, the real thing behind the program was to try and develop noble, honorable, courageous men that would take the mantle from those who are aging or have gone on before us, so that there is some type of legacy to keep this country growing and moving forward in the way that Christ commands us to move forward. We changed things up from time to time when we came in here. I threw a bunch of different things at Jeff. So I'd like to go off and ad-lib a little bit here and there. So you'll see me collect my thoughts from time to time. Some of this is scripted. A lot of this is not. You know, before we came up here, one of the young men here, he prayed with me, and I always pray before I speak that God use me to speak through me to touch your hearts and to move you to know him better. There has been tragedy that has struck this church very recently that I know of, and I'm sure there are more that I have not even heard about. Throughout this region and this country, there are tragedies striking people down everywhere, and often I hear people say, why? And my question to them is, why not? If the most perfect human being that ever walked the earth had to be scorched, beaten, and nailed to a cross and left hanging there to die. If he had to go through that, why would we ever think that we would have to suffer anything less? I came to this region after 9/11, after injuries that I incurred, I've had multiple spinal surgeries, and my time as a firefighter was over. My late wife, Polly, was born and bred here, and she's a product of this region. And through the years, when we were still in New York, she would talk about this area from time to time. And I always had this vision of this quaint country hideaway in the mountains, something totally different than what I was used to and all I knew living in New York. So after the attacks and after my operations, they put me out. I decided I did not want to raise my little girl, Isabella, in New York City. Fear. The towers had been hit in 93. They almost knocked them down the first time, and they certainly knocked them down the second time. And I, to this day, believe that New York City will eventually suffer a more catastrophic event than I have already seen. I did not want my family to be there. So like Jonah, I thought I could flee Nineveh and I could avoid it. I came here to hide in the mountains and built a house that could run off the grid. And I thought I had every plan covered to protect my family from more trials and tribulations. And I was wrong. Like Jonah, like Job. What God has planned for you, there is no way getting around it. It's how you handle it and what you do in the trials and tribulations that matter. It's easy to lay down and give up. Christ didn't do that. And he doesn't want that for us. If we truly believe and have faith in him, no matter what happens to us here on earth, and things will happen here, because the devil is evil and he does not stop. And if you profess to be a follower of Christ, you can be assured that Satan is going to come at you. He wants you. He doesn't have to worry about those who do not know Christ. But you, assembled here, followers, be prepared for a fight. I thought I could run from them, and I could not. I still count my blessings, and I try to use things that have happened to my life, 9/11, my wife dying of cancer, being stricken with cancer myself, many illnesses that my daughter incurred over the years. My faith has seen me through it all, and I don't expect that the fight is over. But I pray that I have the courage like that little girl in Columbine who at 16 years old had a gun put to her head, and she was told to denounce Christ or she would be shot. And that little girl had the courage to say no. That's the kind of courage I pray for. That little girl and all these men who gave their lives openly on 9/11, they inspire me to push on no matter what happens. When I look at Paulino and Noah, I believe there's still a future for this country and hope. And I pray that the two of them will produce a generation of children like them. At this time, I'm going to ask Jeff to roll the first video.
The World Trade said that tower number one is on fire. The whole outside of the building. There was just a huge explosion.
We have a number of floors on fire. It looked like the plane was aiming towards the building.
Marine 6 to Manhattan, urgent.
Outlet 1 stand by, Marine 6, go.
You have a second plane into the other tower of the tower of the Trade Center, major fire.
When the night seems to say all is lost, gone away, but I know I'm not. By the light, she stands. There she waves, faithful friend, shimmering stars.
The rest of the world hears you, and the people down, we'll hear all of us soon.
I'm just watching that now. Again, this is unscripted. And we were standing very close to the president at this speech, and I remember my buddy Louis Schaefer from 32 Truck. That was we had a double house, it was 62-engine 32 Truck. And Louis reached to President Bush, and he grabbed his hand, and he said to him, "Avenge our fallen brothers." And President Bush paused for a moment. He looked him in the eyes, and he said, "I'm going to take care of that right now, son." Not long after that, the bombs started to hit the Middle East. This is a story of one bright and sunny day, a day when a strange and awful thing would happen. A black cloud of evil would fall upon a great nation. The light of the sun would disappear, and the voices of the city's people would turn from screams to cries to silence. This day, September 11, 2001, a day when Satan sent his henchmen to do his evil, a day when God would send his soldiers to deliver his children and to protect the nation he loves. Even as this country turns away from him today. I am a soldier of God, spared on that day so I could come before all of you. So I might be a reminder to all people of his great and powerful love. It is the morning of September 11th, a morning of unmatched clarity and beauty. In New York City, the sky is seldom so clear and the sun so radiant. I just finished the busiest 24-hour tour at my Bronx Engine Company 62. After a workout on a heavy bag, I hit the showers before heading home. Little did I know that it would be many days before I would see my wife and home again. In that moment, everything was about to change forever. Over the alarm box came a call for a fifth alarm in the borough of Manhattan. Not a second, or a third, or a fourth, but right to a fifth alarm. When I heard the fifth called, it struck me as very strange, so I jumped out of the shower to see what was happening in a locker room, which would normally be full of guys at the change of tours, but it was empty. At this point, I was struck and felt worried. Where had everyone gone? So I ran around the lockers towards the captain's office, and it was then that the question of where everyone had gone was answered. All the guys had gathered in the captain's office to view the news broadcast of the first plane strike. We all glazed at the TV screen trying to figure out what our role and response would be. As we spoke, another jet appeared on the screen, and then a second fireball. We didn't know it then, but our lives and our nation were about to change forever. At that moment, all the tones went off, phones were ringing, guys were scrambling for gear. I looked at a few of the guys that had just gotten off duty with me, and I told them, "Grab your gear, and we will pile into my pickup truck and get down there right now." Just as we started to head out the captain's office, he called us back. We were to grab a spare rig from Co-op City and respond as a special unit. This would take some time. Not the way I wanted to do this, but orders are orders. I was the only off-duty MPO, so I took the captain to get the spare rig. It's funny the things that stand out in our minds, moments that seem to be welded in our memories forever. I remember the look on my captain's face when the second jet hit. He turned to us all and said, "We're going to lose a lot of guys today, boys." En route to pick up the spare rig, we were listening to the news over the car radio when the announcement was broadcast that the Pentagon had been hit and more planes were unaccounted for. They believed that the White House would be the next target of Satan's henchmen. I looked over at my captain. "My God, this is it," I said to him. The expression on his face was blank. At that moment, my mind raced to the face of my wife, Polly, to my mom and my dad, to my brother and my sister. Never had I felt so much fear for them all. I remember making repeated phone calls to my wife, but I was unable to reach her. I knew where I was headed, and things for me and my brothers were grim at best. After a few tries, I was able to reach my dad on a hard line. The cell phones were down due to all the destruction at the towers. I told my dad that I was headed for the Trade Center, and I didn't know if I would see him for some time. I remember telling him that if I were to fall, to please take care of Polly for me. He assured me he would. He told me he loved me. It's strange how things change as you grow older. At some point, most of us slow down enough to stop and take a long look back down the road that has been our lives. So much has changed from when I first wrote this speech. When I first brought my wife and family to the mountains of PA, I thought I found a safe place. To raise my daughter and protect my family. I thought I had escaped my nightmares. And only good days will lie ahead, but I was wrong. I have chosen Christ, and I have angered an evil enemy. I have accepted my commission as a soldier of God, so the war continues. There is no place to take shelter except in the word of the Almighty. I remember when this seed was placed in my heart. A small boy who dreamed of being Batman or Superman, running down the hallways of our Bronx apartment building in mid-August, still wearing my Batman mask from Halloween. I see a young teenage boy running home to watch Samson and Delilah on the 4 o'clock movie. If only I could be Samson, I could save all the people who were too weak to protect themselves. I see a young man so close to the destruction of self and others over my own loss of failures and rejections. I see a broken heart for my loved one who I could not save. My daughter, whose shattered hopes I failed to heal. And just as I feel I could fight no longer, God stepped in at my time of despair, lifting up my soul, my life, giving me the opportunity, one after another, to do good for his people. What a journey it has been. Like the great warriors for God, I bleed and have been broken. And I am battle scarred. But always God has picked me back up, cleaned my wounds, kissed my broken heart to show me how much more he had for me to become. Always another chance to climb another step closer to home. If only I could do it with his grace. He made me a firefighter at a time when he knew his soldiers would be needed most. A time when he knew the powers of evil would rise up. Excuse me. God would meet the armies of evil as he has done since the beginning of time. God's people, the people of America. America, the beacon of freedom, life, liberty. His people would rise together to shine his light through billowing black smoke of hell and darkness. A nation of souls filled with God's unabound love. My life was spared that day and many times before that, so I could stand witness to his triumph over Satan's evil attempt to conquer. I have seen great and horrible carnage. I've stood in the stench of death and decay, dug up, and carried out. The body parts of my brothers and sisters. I have stood before the fires of hell on earth and stood honor guard with the caskets of my friends. As I watched mothers, fathers, wives weep for our precious, brave lost sons, I have stood in a sea of blue, 6,000 strong, as bagpipes cried out to the heavens, and listened to the thunder rumbling of drums. I stood at the attention, at attention, and tears streamed down my face as widows dressed in black walked slowly, clenching the tiny hands of a little girl whose father she will not know. I see a young boy holding his father's charred helmet so carefully as he takes in his last run with his dad. Behind the shining red fire truck. I stood witness and was spared. God has delivered me here before all of you to tell you to take up the fight against evil. For it lives among us, and he alone can show you how to rise above it. God will use the people of America as he did from our founding fathers to be a light that leads to his kingdom. Many great men, Washington, Lincoln, and most recent times President Reagan, were given a vision from the Almighty. Is what makes America the great nation we hold so dear. We must never forget that a godless nation cannot stand. We must stand up against and raise our voices above those who would work to take God out of America. Those who want his protection to be forever removed from our country, so evil and Satan can rain down upon us as he did on September 11th. Excuse me. A great American leader once said in his speech, A Time for Choosing, there is a crusade for freedom and a higher calling and a mission in our lives. He said, let us seek to do God's will in all things, to stand for freedom and to speak for humanity. That great leader was Ronald Reagan, who often referred to his scriptures. He told us that he believed the American people had a rendezvous with destiny. The great Reverend Billy Graham said he had a prayer for America. It was for all the churches across the nation to once again be filled with God's children as they were on the Sundays that followed the attacks. What are we doing to answer that prayer? In the absence of the Reverend, I might add, it is time for us to become leaders. Time for us to seek God's wisdom. We each have a rendezvous with our own destiny. What will you choose? Today, we honor all those who put on a uniform, Paulino and Noah. You go out to protect others at any cost. But we must always remember that each and every one of us can be a hero every day. Each of us in our own way, hero or villain, your words and your actions have great power. Think about the stories you hear on the news every day. A young person is walking in despair and pain, and you are the last person to speak words to them. You can speak words of love and hope that just might give them the strength to fight on. Or maybe you use your power to speak words of hate or pain, and you send them over the edge of darkness. Maybe you choose to be the villain, and they take their own life, or they go on a shooting spree and kill many. Will you be a saving hero and bring comfort, or a villain and, like the days of Jesus, toss the final stone? Before we go on to the next video, while I was watching the one before that, I was thinking the other night on 9/11, it's a somber day for us. And we keep a pretty low profile and we stay to ourselves every year. Three of my friends, Joey Walsh, worked in my house. Kevin Nolan worked in 79 Engine, which was our sister company. I drove that company frequently. And Bobby Fitzgibbons, we call him Fitzy. When I got out of the academy, my first assignment was at 97 Engine in the Bronx. And he was one of the senior men there that took me under his wing, made me feel comfortable, gave me a hard time when it was needed, but he watched over me at fires until I learned what to look for and how to truly be a firefighter. In the past few weeks, the three of them have all passed away. So after Isabella and Colin and myself had a meal on a quiet night, I went downstairs to the basement and we had some fireworks that we had saved from 4th of July that I knew I was going to use it sometime. So the three of us went out into the darkness, not aware of time or anything else that was going on, and we set off three rockets, one for each of my buddies. And then we had a 21-gun salute for the 543-plus that have died since. And after we had set them off, I was picking up some of the debris from the rockets, and Isabel and Colin came over to me and said, "You're not going to believe this." And I said, "What?" And they held up their phone and showed me the time on the clock that we had just finished setting the fireworks off and remembering the brave lost. And the exact time was 9/11. God is amazing all the time. You just have to look for the little things just when you need a little bit of power, a little bit of lifting. I so often see the number 9/11 or 343 on one of my insurance policies. My account number is 343. One of my handguns, my serial number is 343. And I don't look for these things. They just happen. That's God. Melissa is sitting up here with her son, Paulino, and she speaks frequently about dimes that she finds and butterflies that come to her in her garden. And that is something that her and my wife used to speak about all the time. To Melissa, that is her friend reaching through God to remind her she's around. We don't often have to look very far to hear him talking to us or coaxing us or giving us signs. Jesus Christ is the commander in chief, and he had 12 men that served unto him, his disciples. And they told us that we were supposed to be their army and go out to the world and preach his message. We honor those in uniform and those that have given their lives because of the noble following and their dedication to continue Christ's message of sacrifice before self. One of the most powerful things Jesus said to his disciples was, "Love one another as I have loved you." There is no greater thing that you can do than to lay your life down for another. In the morning of 9/11, thousands of firefighters assembled in those towers. Most of them on the way up were hugging each other tearfully and saying goodbye to one another because they knew that more than likely they were not going home that day. Unfortunately, their fears were true. But they did not die in vain. Paulina and Noah are an example of that. Jeff, roll the next video, please. You know, before he rolls it, I just want to make sure I got things in line. Yeah, roll the video. And the reason why I asked Jeff to roll this video is, this is a movie, Act of Valor. I'm sure many of you have seen it. There's probably a lot of veterans in here right now of different branches. This scene from this movie is the most powerful reenactment of what truly these funerals are like. So I ask him to play this to try and help you all to understand maybe a little bit better, if you've never been to one, what it's really about. Go ahead, Jeff.
Your father was a good man. Growing up without him is gonna be hard. It's gonna hurt. You'll feel alone, out to sea with no shore in sight. You'll wonder, why me? Why him? Remember, you have warrior's blood in your veins. The code that made your father who he was is the same code that'll make you a man he would admire, respect. Put your pain in a box. Lock it down. Like those people in the paintings your father liked, we are men made up of boxes, chambers of loss and triumph, of hurt and hope and love. No one is stronger or more dangerous than a man who can harness his emotions. His past. Use it as fuel, as ammunition, as ink to write the most important letter of your life.
On behalf of the President of the United States and a grateful nation, I present you this flag in recognition of your husband's heroic achievements. You have my deepest condolences. One more flag to present. This one I think you know. On every deployment, Rourke carried this with him. Again, my deepest condolences.
Lieutenant Engel!
Before he died, your father asked me to give you this poem by Tecumseh. I told him I'd fold it into a paper airplane. And in a way, I guess that's what I'm doing. Selling it from him to you. Live your life that the fear of death can never enter your heart. Trouble no one about his religion. Respect others and their views, and demand that they respect yours. Love your life. Perfect your life.
Beautify all things in your life. Seek to make your life long and of service to your people. When your time comes to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. Sing your death song and die like a hero, going home.
I spoke a little bit earlier about the hockey program. The speech that I'm going to read to you was the message that I gave to them at our dinner before opening championships. We've been blessed to accomplish, not in sports, but the dream that we had in developing young men. I'm pleased that over the years, we have produced police officers, firefighters, Marines, Coast Guard, Army, Air Force, every branch. Young men that have come out of the program, not all of them, but some of them. The things that they learned from the program that we instilled in their hearts about courage and sacrifice and teamwork has paid off the dividends that we hoped it would. And that's even more important than the success that we have had as a hockey program. It was always about building better men. This is a little bit repetitive of what I said, read before, but I want to read the whole speech as I read it to that team before they went on to win our first national championship. We're going to lose a lot of men today, boys. Those are the words of Captain Billy Chilson, commanding officer of Engine 6-2, Ladder 3-2, in the FDNY Bronx Fire Company. I will never forget those words, his somber look in his eyes as he turned away from the images on the small TV screen in his office. A handful of men from the firehouse had just stood in disbelief as we watched the second tower, World Trade Center, burst into a ball of flames after Islamic devils struck for the second time on the morning of 9/11. It would not be their last act of evil that day. Even as the captain uttered those words, he could never imagine the number of lions that would be sacrificed by the FDNY that day. In New York, people referred to the FD as the bravest. On that day, they would demonstrate before the eyes of the world the bravery they act with every day, year in and year out, quietly on a local level. People would now understand why they have been bestowed with the title of the bravest. For hundreds of years now, this great nation has produced legions of great young lions, such as these young men. Men who are willing to lay down their lives so others might live. It's men like them who created the freest nation mankind has ever known. The motto of the FDNY is, "We run in when others run out." To these men, that is not just words, but a way of life. The courage and ability that a firefighter uses as a fighting unit is not something that just happens. It is often the result of years of competitive team sports, such as yourselves. These firemen, just as the men of the armed services, were molded as boys and young athletes honing their mettle in the field of sports competition. The culture of competitive team sports has long served this nation in an unconscious manner as a tool for preparing this nation's next generation of lions. Today, you are but cubs, building and flexing muscle, sharpening the claws that you will one day need to be the lions of a nation. Not all the cubs will grow to be great lions. Only God knows the path and destiny each one of you will choose. But who you become now, the things that you discover about who you are and what you are willing to do for each other and the good of the team, the unit, goes a long way of showing the world your true character. there is a movie that I often think of, Narnia. Some of you may have heard of it. There's a scene in the film that always brings me to tears. It's the part where Aslan, the great Lion King, marches up a path that leads to an altar that this great king walks, as this great king walks through a great horde of his opponents and evil on his way to the altar, where he will knowingly have his blood spilled. He will die there in that moment, at that place. His blood will be spilled so that others may live. In the years that have passed since the attacks of 9/11, many brave young American lions have laid down their lives for the people of this great nation, for an ideal we call freedom. In the 4,000 plus years of recorded history, tyranny, desolation, poverty, and slavery have been the norm of human society. The rule of mankind over man, for the most part, has been a bloody, dark record. Only since God's creation of America has that chain been broken. Freedom has not ruled on the stage of humanity very long. Many argue that these few hundred years are a glitch in history, an anomaly that will soon be over, and it will soon be business as usual in the world of evil, and slavery will soon rule again. What do you believe? Who will you grow to be? What role will you play in the preservation of freedom in America? This is what I believe. God spared my life on 9/11 so I could teach, coach, inspire, and remind the young future lions of a nation of the work that lies ahead of them. Excuse me. To teach you what it takes to become lions. Just a short time ago, we lost some of this nation's finest men, dozens of our special forces, and 20-plus members of SEAL Team 6 laid down their lives on the altar of evil. Just as my 343 brothers made the supreme sacrifice on 9/11, these brave lions died so that others may live, so we may live. They died to save a nation. They follow the example of the greatest lion that ever walked the earth. The Chronicles of Narnia is a story to remind us of the life and the lessons of the Lion of Judah, who not only gave his life, for a nation, but who died so all mankind could live forever. Who will you be? What will you choose? The things we do today, the men we choose to be tomorrow, will live on in eternity. I believe that the cubs of today will grow to become the lions that will ensure that our fallen brothers did not die in vain. I believe that many of you will preserve this nation of freedom, that you will work to keep the flame of America burning bright, so that we will continue to be a light to the world, to freedom, hope, and humanity. Your training today will ensure that we will have a tomorrow. We wrote that in 2011. I am not under any illusions or delusions that I am a perfect man. In fact, I have been in most of my life quite the sinner. And I pray for mercy every day. And I am often inspired by the lives that the disciples lived. And if Christ chose them, I certainly would have been in their company and some of the things I have lived and done in my life, as so many of them did. It is not about being a sinless, perfect person. None of us can do that. That's why Christ went to the cross for us. But we stand here, sit, to honor something that Christ represents. Love. Honor one another. Often, very often, myself included. I'm not just saying this to all of you. We do not honor our wives. We do not honor our husbands. We do not honor our children always. And certainly our children do not always honor us. His greatest commandment was to love one another as I have loved you. It's not a lot to ask when you really think about it. He's not asking you to be nailed to a cross as he was. He's just asking us, simple people, in a difficult world, to love one another, to honor one another, to work on your marriages, to work at raising your children, and children, to listen to your parents, and try and gain something from the wisdom that they have collected through their trials and tribulations. This life will be filled with them. And the things that you learn and the way that you prepare yourself so that when battle comes into your life will determine whether you stand or you fall, whether you destroy yourself or destroy others. And the greatest tragedy is to take your last breath and find yourself standing before the Almighty. And this is my greatest fear as well. And not making the A-team. Well, I would talk to my players, and often with my daughter, and I would be light and joke about it because I can't always be so serious. And I would tell her, I've made many teams in my life and won championships at all different levels, but there's only one team that really matters making the A-team, and that's his team. Everything else will not matter. Everything we do here, all the things that you think you have, Dave said it several times earlier, and I say this to my players year after year after year, often as I'm brutalizing them through training regimes and they're throwing up in a corner somewhere, passed out in a puddle of sweat. Tomorrow is promised to no one. People speak often about the coming apocalypse, revelation, the rapture. None of us know when our day of rapture will come. It could be today. What team will you make when your personal rapture happens, when your day of judgment is before you? Where will you spend eternity? I pray for all of you and myself, and we will be in heaven forever. I'm going to ask Jeff to play a song. It's from the movie World's Greatest Showman. It's a beautiful song. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and think of a moment in your life when you felt everything in the world was right, where you felt love in your heart that just made you swell. For me, that moment takes me back to Disney World with my wife and very young daughter who was sitting on a sandy little beach area at the Wilderness Lodge in the evening after dinner watching a Disney movie. They always play movies for the kids at night. Sky High was the movie. It's a funny movie. And standing on the edge of the water in the sand as the fireworks began to go off in the sky above us, glancing over and watching my little baby girl smiling and giggling with her little drink, sitting in the sand watching this movie with all these little children, and holding my wife in my arms and watching the fireworks go off above us and thinking to myself, this is wonderful. So close your eyes and listen to this song. And try and remember a time where you felt like all the world was good and you could never feel more love in that moment. Go back there and hold on to it when we leave here today. If you're a married couple, remember how you felt the day that you made vows to one another and stood before God and professed how much you loved one another. It is not always rosy, marriage, and it can be a bumpy road, but it is always worth fighting for. because you have promised before God that that's what you would do till death do you part. Children, do not take your parents for granted. They love you, and I'm sure you love them. But in those moments where you forget that, you must work harder to remember all the things that they sacrifice and do for you. They are not perfect. None of us are. But know that they love you. And remember that so that you can build a relationship with them that you can hold on to for as long as you live, because you don't know how long you will have them. Jeff.
I'm trying to hold my breath, let it stay this way, can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting louder now. Can you hear it echoing? Share this with me, starting without you. All the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Time to go are still too little. These hands could hold.
I ask you, is there ever enough love? Is there ever enough hope? Do we ever give enough ourselves? I pray for all of you that you find health, success, peace, togetherness, love. I pray that you all make your lives something that brightens this entire world. There are enough forces out there that are trying to darken it. We, Christian people, must remember our calling, must remember everything that Christ has done and given up for us, and continue to fight and keep the Great Commission. I've been blessed to stand in the presence of towering giant men, courageous, powerful guys, and watch them do things day in and day out. And they are gone. I was blessed to watch my small country wife fight a fight like I had not seen most men fight, to endure pain that is indescribable, but to have courage and to never lose her hope in her final days. I hope that that kind of courage and strength fills all of your hearts every day of your lives, and never forget the gift, every moment, every breath you take, that has been given to all of us by our Lord and Savior. Behold the baby. Behold the man. Behold the King of all kings, Yahshua, the Messiah. God bless you all.